3. More about parables. The apostles were parable-minded, so much so that the whole of the next evening was devoted to the further discussion of parables. Jesus introduced the evening's conference by saying, "My beloved, you must always make a difference in teaching so as to suit your presentation of truth to the minds and hearts before you. When you stand before a multitude of varying intellects and temperaments, you cannot speak different words for each class of hearers, but you can tell a story to convey your teaching, and each group, even each individual, will be able to make his own interpretation of your parable in accordance with his own intellectual and spiritual endowments. You are to let your light shine, but do so with wisdom and discretion. No man, when he lights a lamp, covers it up with a vessel or puts it under the bed. He puts his lamp on a stand where all can behold the light. Let me tell you that nothing is hid in the kingdom of heaven which shall not be made manifest, neither are there any secrets which shall not ultimately be made known. Eventually all these things shall come to light. Think not only of the multitudes and how they hear the truth, take heed also to yourselves how you hear. Remember that I have many times told you, to him who has shall be given more, while from him who has not shall be taken away even that which he thinks he has." The continued discussion of parables and further instruction as to their interpretation may be summarized and expressed in modern phraseology as follows. 1. Jesus advised against the use of either fables or allegories in teaching the truths of the gospel. He did recommend the free use of parables, especially nature parables. He emphasized the value of utilizing the analogy existing between the natural and the spiritual worlds as a means of teaching truth. He frequently alluded to the natural as the unreal and fleeting shadow of spirit realities. 2. Jesus narrated 3 or 4 parables from the Hebrew Scriptures, calling attention to the fact that this method of teaching was not wholly new. However, it became almost a new method of teaching as he employed it from this time onward. 3. In teaching the apostles the value of parables, Jesus called attention to the following points. The parable provides for a simultaneous appeal to vastly different levels of mind and spirit. The parable stimulates the imagination, challenges the discrimination, and provokes critical thinking. It promotes sympathy without arousing antagonism. The parable proceeds from the things which are known to the discernment of the unknown. The parable utilizes the material and natural as a means of introducing the spiritual and the supermaterial. Parables favor the making of impartial moral decisions. The parable evades much prejudice and puts new truth gracefully into the mind and does all this with the arousal of a minimum of the self-defense of personal resentment. To reject the truth contained in parabolical analogy requires conscious intellectual action which is directly in contempt of one's honest judgment and fair decision. The parable conduces to the forcing of thought through the sense of hearing. The use of the parable form of teaching enables the teacher to present new and even startling truths, while at the same time he largely avoids all controversy and outward clashing with tradition and established authority. The parable also possesses the advantage of stimulating the memory of the truth taught when the same familiar scenes are subsequently encountered. In this way, Jesus sought to acquaint his followers with many of the reasons underlying his practice of increasingly using parables in his public teaching. Toward the close of the evening's lesson, Jesus made his first comment on the parable of the sower. He said the parable referred to 2 things. First, it was a review of his own ministry up to that time, and a forecast of what lay ahead of him for the remainder of his life on earth. And second, it was also a hint as to what the apostles and other messengers of the kingdom might expect in their ministry from generation to generation as time passed. Jesus also resorted to the use of parables as the best possible refutation of the studied effort of the religious leaders at Jerusalem to teach that all of his work was done by the assistance of demons and the prince of devils. The appeal to nature was in contravention of such teaching, since the people of that day looked upon all natural phenomena as the product of the direct act of spiritual beings and supernatural forces. He also determined upon this method of teaching because it enabled him to proclaim vital truths to those who desired to know the better way, while at the same time affording his enemies less opportunity to find cause for offense and for accusations against him. Before he dismissed the group for the night, Jesus said, "Now will I tell you the last of the parable of the sower. I would test you to know how you will receive this. The kingdom of heaven is also like a man who cast good seed upon the earth, and while he slept by night, and went about his business by day, the seed sprang up and grew, and although he knew not how it came about, the plant came to fruit. First there was the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then, when the grain was ripe, he put forth the sickle, and the harvest was finished. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Many times did the apostles turn this saying over in their minds, but the Master never made further mention of this addition to the parable of the sower.